What's up, guys? This is Cass Eugene, and you are now listening to the Bipolar Chatterbox. And I thank you for being here today. It is a beautiful Wednesday here in Atlanta, Georgia. When I say beautiful, I mean it is hot as I know what. The humidity is through the roof. I stepped outside today just for a quick walk, and the mosquitoes tried to literally fly me away. I'm 6'4". That's a lot of mosquitoes. So I'm over-exaggerating a little here. But it was still a beautiful day because I woke up with a mindful attitude. And I got a chance to have my morning tea. I sat down. I did some work in my bipolar disorder workbook. I like to stay up on that so I can make sure that, you know, I take care of my mind whenever I get a chance to. And I also got a chance to go over my show notes beforehand. And the reason that I'm telling you all of this is because I wouldn't be able to do this if I wasn't living in my passion. If I wasn't living a purposeful life that's going to take me to my realized legacy. You see, like Dr. King, I have a dream speech. I too have some dreams. but my dreams, I think, are a little bit more modest. At least I hope so in some aspect. And a big portion of who I am is this creature that is based in passion. Now, being this kind of individual, one of the biggest things that kind of comes up in your life is how to create a lifestyle, how to create a lifestyle for yourself. And so today I want to talk from, there was an article that I found online, actually a few years ago, but I just kind of kept it in my bookmarks. And I want to talk with that article in mind. The article was "The Best Jobs for Highly Sensitive People." This really got my attention when I was doing a job search a little while back. And the reason I'm bringing it to you today is because I feel like it's time. I feel like it's time. We spent some time getting to know each other on the air. For those of you who have not listened to any podcast before, please, by all means, the Bipolar Chatterbox is open for more than those who suffer bipolar disorder. It's open for more than those who love someone or who are partners with someone who has bipolar disorder. It's for the bipolar disorder community and network, the supporting networks, the auxiliary men, the people who help support us, the musics we listen to. I mean, it involves a lot more than just those who live with the diagnosis. So I encourage you to go back and listen. But today, as I said, the article, in this article you can find on highlysensitiveperson.net. They have a lot of good resources there. If you're looking, especially if you're looking for a job right now. The reason I'm hitting this in the first place is because, and I want to start in the past a little bit, because when I was a kid, my father worked for Circuit City. And if anyone knows Circuit City's story, they folded. They folded. And my father was an electrical engineer. With that being said, I remember watching, I guess you could say, the degradation of my father's like dreams. You know, I saw the things he would do behind the scenes, you know, and actually in my own life, I kind of emulated some of those things. But he never got back to, I guess you would say, his glory days. And that always kind of saddened me. And seeing that, my mother, she's a teacher. She always, always, always told me to follow my dreams and to follow my passions. And now, to bring us back to the current, when you talk about getting work and you're a highly sensitive person, that can mean a whole lot. It can mean a whole lot. For me, I can tell you I am a very highly sensitive individual. There are certain jobs that are for us, and there are certain jobs that are not for us. You have to know. And when I say jobs, I mean, you know, places of work, ways to, you know, increase your revenue, income, just different ways for you to sustain a lifestyle. There are many different ways to do it. And today we're going to talk about just a few of them. but I'm going to talk more about how to live in your passion. I want to do this especially because there are those who need to hear this message. And there are some who just know a redundant message is fine to hear, and you at least know where you can point someone. So if you are hearing something that rings true to yourself, feel free to drop me a line. If you find something that might benefit someone else, please send them here. Send them my way or to the Facebook group. It's the Bipolar Chatterbox. And it's a closed group, so there's always a code word, because I'm kind of a goofy individual from time to time. But there's a code word. I'm going to let you in regardless. You know, you just gotta try. You just gotta try. And today's code word is going to be legacy. Okay, today's code word is legacy, because that's what I'm all about. I'm all about creating a living legacy. And one that you can pass down to your kids' kid. So, to keep the show moving forward a little bit, for those who don't know, I have a daughter. She's 10. Her name is Talia. She is a busybody. And she lives with her mom. You know, I'm in a situation where her mom is still military. So my kid goes to different states, and she's exposed to a lot of different things. And so it was kind of hard for me as a father to find a good mix between a work-life balance. So when I would do searches on the internet for work in the past, I had to really dig deep into who I was as an individual to find the kind of work that would line up to where I could be there for my kid, provide for her, and at the same time, be someone that she could respect as she grows up. Now, if you're living in your true passion, I wholeheartedly believe that your legacy can be and will reveal itself to you. I believe this. So I asked my kid when I was getting my degree in psychology. Side note, if you get a degree in psychology, you got to keep going forward. You got to get a master's or a doctorate in order to make that bad boy worth it sometimes. it's just the nature of the beast. But I remember asking my kid, hey, baby, do you want that? I was at the end of my career. My collegiate career. I was getting there. I remember asking her, do you want me to get a job where I may not see you as much? You know, but you'll be able to have like all kind of cool toys and this, that, and the third. I think she was 5 at this time, but I could talk to her like that. Or would you prefer that to have a job where you'll be able to see me more, but you won't have as much cool stuff to play with? And she's like, Dad, I want you to help people. And I was like, okay, that's my kid right there. You know, so one of the things that you can do to start to live in your legacy and to start to find your passion is by where you work at. Now look around. Look around your work environment. Does that environment line up with your passions? And ultimately, does that line up with your legacy? I'll wait. I want you to actually think about it. Think. The environment that you work in, not just the physical, whether it be like a cubicle or you work from home, or if you are an Uber driver or, you know, construction, or if you are, you know, in a boardroom all day, or even a call center. Not that type of environment. I mean the environment like for your life's environment. Does it line up with your legacy? You see, for some people, especially those who are highly sensitive, where we work follows us home. So if you're someone, and I mentioned call center because I had a friend once who worked at a suicide hotline. And I remember I'm like, oh wow, I can use my psychology degree there. That would have been the wrong move, buddy, because, you know, we latch on. I think it's called compassion fatigue. When you latch on to others' emotions and they can follow you wherever you go. So I want you to just briefly look around at your environment, and does it line up with your legacy or what you're trying to do in your life? Because if not, it might be time to move on. It may be time to not just move on, but it might be time to move into your legacy. Now, my company, Legatum Link, has a simple mission. and that's to help others live in their true legacy. Now, it just so happens that I see the gap that needs to be filled in the telling of this philosophy of living your passion. And so I have the Bipolar Chatterbox to kind of help me fill some of that void that I've noticed. You see, some people need to be able to express themselves in their work environment. And maybe living a life just standing in the ranks and being another number, maybe that doesn't work for you. It didn't work for me. I can tell you my time in the military, anytime I got in trouble, it was always because of some sort of individual, some sort of individuality that was coming out. You know, too many bright ideas, if you ask me. they say they don't want robots, but they do. They want certain kind of robots, and I just didn't fit the bill. So getting back here to living in your legacy as a highly sensitive person, look at your work environment, right? If you find yourself not feeling like you're in the right spot, maybe you can readjust how you're viewing where you're living, where you're working. You see what I'm saying? If you are someone who can kind of feel like, if it feels like you're being stifled at work, your ideas are shot down, your coworkers are, especially if you're like a really like happy-go-lucky person, and if they're really like trying to down you every chance that they get, that could really start to sap your life's quality of life. And I don't want that for you. What I do want is for you to learn that you can adapt to an environment that's hostile. You can adapt to it long enough for you to find the elements that will let you live the lifestyle that you choose to live. And the key word here is the lifestyle that you choose to live, because just because you have a certain job or you have certain demands on you doesn't mean you can't slide in things to make your day better. Things like bringing a plant and putting it in your cubicle. You know, that's something very small. I use AromaLink bracelets to bring some aromatherapy with me whenever I work, because sometimes I get bogged down and or I get too distracted and I need to remind myself of what I'm supposed to be caring about or what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, if you're someone who's unwilling to kind of change your work environment, you know, maybe you have, you know, so many responsibilities that this is too big for you. Well, let me just tell you that you can change, and I'm gonna tell you how. I'm gonna start this back to when I changed career paths multiple times in my life. Okay, I changed multiple times in my life, so I've worn many hats, from leasing agent to military to just general laborer, bartender, server, caterer, to working retail, video game industry. I've kind of been around the block a little bit, and I've seen what works and what doesn't work. And one of the things that really stands out to me is that work is what you make it. Work is what you make it. If you find yourself not living in your true passion, one of the things you might have to look at is, what is it that you're truly sacrificing? And is it worth sacrificing for? You know, sometimes we say, oh yeah, I'm sacrificing for my kids, but is that sacrifice worth it? If you're working 16 hours in one day and you get home and you have absolutely no time for your little ones, you know, like, you're sacrificing more than you thought you was, perhaps. You know, like, money is not everything. There are more ways of currency in a family. There are more ways of currency in a friendship than just actual, you know, USD, American dollars. I'm about to make some sort of pun about different currencies across the world, you know, but I didn't think a dad joke was appropriate right now. But in all reality, I started to change who I was based on my careers. And that didn't fit. It didn't fit. Especially having bipolar disorder type 1. That's where mania is my main nemesis. And when mania kicks in, you feel like you can do anything. So when I had to do direct marketing, selling pillows in Costco, you know, I'm like, yo, I can see how this will fit my career and how it's going to get me to where I got to be. But that job was just a numbers game. Speak to as many people as you can and impulse them to buy your thing. And then that's what's going to make your quota. And then that's what's going to make your paycheck. And then rinse and repeat. That wasn't for me. So I had to let those guys know, hey, no, I'm not going to do this. We're going to be going back to the restaurant. And for me personally, that's kind of like, the restaurant was always my like layover kind of work. But the problem for me is that I'm still a highly sensitive person. So whenever I would talk to individuals at the restaurant, for me, it was more than just serving food. It was more than just serving drinks. You know, I started off my career as an actor. So each and every table for me was another chance to do some dinner theater. Like in my mind, it was a challenge. How well do I know the menu? Well, hello there, sir, madam. What can I get you to drink? You know, can I hit all of my cues? 2 minutes for running the drink, you know, 7 minutes for this, that, and the third. Can I hit these cues? You know, it was more than just running food to a table. And so when I would have a table that would treat me poorly, it really got to me. Like, I mean, I have pretty thick skin, but every now and then you just get that one table that just stiffs you, or somebody who is just rude to you for no reason. And you're like, whoa, time out. Wait, hold on. I'm giving you like quality stuff here. Why are you treating me like this? You know, what is it about your day that's so bad that you gotta come and give it to me? So working in the restaurant industry wasn't always the best for my mental health. So therefore, I work in the catering industry in the logistics department. And that works out great because I get a chance to do some creative problem solving on a daily basis whenever I'm there. And whenever we get to go to catering events, I get a chance to network and just talk to different kinds of people that I normally wouldn't be able to talk to, but it's brief. So that works for me. But, you know, there are all kinds of things you got to watch out for. And I'm gonna warn you guys that this may be a triggering story here. So just be warned if you have, you know, if you're on the edge right now, just be warned. And if I say anything that triggers someone and you need to debrief, by all means, find me on my Instagram at Kasologist. That's Kasologist. You know, or you can just search Cass Eugene on Facebook. The reason being is because I don't want anyone in a worse state after listening to me. I don't want that. I don't want to leave things unsaid that you might need to hear, you know. So there was, I had a really nice job about, I think it's about 2017 or so. It was a biomedical engineer, field service engineer. I would travel to all of these, it seemed like backwoods, but all these different medical facilities in a company van. It had a company phone. My paycheck was nice. You know, and I mean, I was living the life for a little while. You know, the company was out in Denver, you know, so it was kind of like I made my own schedules, you know, but all of a sudden stuff started to fall apart because I wasn't able to get to my therapy appointments on time. I would get a call, and it seemed like every single time I had an appointment, I would get a call, hey, we need you in Mississippi today. Like, I kind of got something. Like, what's going on here? So, you know, I raised my flag a few times, but to skip all of that story, my mental health was starting to decline a little bit because I had to sacrifice for the job. And so I felt like I was giving them bits and pieces of loyalty that would be reciprocated. That was not the case. As a matter of fact, she's now my wife, but at the time, my fiance, it's kind of weird to say it like that. Anyway, we were working on our 3-year plan, financial plan, on how we're going to merge, you know, our accounts, how we were going to use this one for savings, and she was teaching me things about the financial sector that I didn't even know about. So this conversation we had was about an hour. I remember I had a note card and I was drawing diagrams and writing it down, and like she would get frustrated a little bit, and I mean it was really like intensive, almost like a business meeting. And when we got to the point where I'm like, all right, cool, we're gonna move money here, we're gonna save this, we're gonna do that, not even before the ink was dry, I got a phone call. So I just stepped outside for a second. I was getting let go, y'all. And I'm not somebody that gets let go. That was new to me. I was shocked. I was like, I'm sitting here thinking about what I was just doing and what is currently happening. And my emotions were starting to run rampant. But I maintained my composure for a second. And I was like, okay, all right. So what is the issue? What haven't I done? You know? And I'm thinking it's because I have been calling out for therapy appointments and things like that. But I was given no actual reason. It was just kind of left like, we're just not thinking it's a good fit. And I was like, what? No, you don't just mess with somebody's livelihood and just say because it wasn't a good fit. Like, no. You got to like let me know something. Because again, I'm thinking that my mental health was the reason why. You know, maybe they were seeing signs, you know, but I'm thinking that this is the reason why I was getting let go. And I'm like, I just got done making a plan that depended on this, you know, that depended on this job. So as soon as that phone call was over, hung up the phone, I didn't even know how to walk back into the house, y'all. I couldn't do it. I couldn't walk right back into the house where the next question would be, oh, who was that on the phone? But I guess my wife heard, or at the time, like I said, she was my fiance, but she heard my end of the conversation, and she just came outside, and she's an itty-bitty thing compared to me, and she just wrapped her arms around me. She's like, come here, give me a hug, you know, and we had a moment, and in that moment of her hugging me, it showed me right there, right then, that I need to line my life up correctly, to where no one can ever take from me again that which I'm planning. So one of the things that I preach a lot is there are times when the plan is going to change. All right, the plan changes. Let the plan change, but don't change the goal. So I'm looking at this little index card. I went ahead, put it onto my board, and I said, I'm going to make this happen. But now I'm going back to this article that I found, and it was I was going through the different types of careers that people with highly sensitive emotional affects will gravitate towards. And I kept telling myself, man, I just need to go back to the technology field because that's where the money's at. But I said, that's not my legacy. That's not my true passion. That's not my true passion. What am I going to do? So then I went ahead and I doubled down and I said, listen, let's go ahead and do this. Let's do this. I talked to my, I'm just going to start calling her my wife now because it's getting confusing. I talked to my wife and we made a joint decision that it is time. It's time for me to grow and become who I am supposed to be. And you're listening to that guy right now. It's been a long time coming, guys. But when I got certified as a life coach, it wasn't so that I could just tell people what to do, get into their business, you know. What I decided was I wasn't going to let anyone take anything from me ever again. I refused for that to happen. So that means I had to find something, which was myself. I had to dive deep into who I was as a person, what I wanted out of life. And life coaching started to line up with what I wanted. But even still, that's not the end mission for me. That's not the end mission for me. Like, I could have got a life coach certification, went working for a behavioral health a hospital or organization, nonprofits, profit, doesn't matter. I could have done that. But I wanted to help a very specific group of people. And it's the people like me who somehow just kind of get left in the cracks somehow. You know, we just kind of get left in the cracks. So I got the certification to just prove that professionally, this is what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to help people do, right? But the way I execute is so much different than those that I know. I don't know any other life coach who does craft jewelry and uses it as their life coaching package, as so it were. You know, I'm more of a motivator, less of a life coach. And I'm cool with that. Because after getting let go, I said to myself, I will not be like my father. I will not be like my father who, you know, when Circuit City went down, that was it. That was the end of the day. No, that's not going to be the case. So what I want to do right now is just let you know that if your world feels like it's shrinking, like the viewfinder is getting smaller and smaller and it's getting more and more uncomfortable, and you feel like you gotta shift and change, go for it. Because there's only one way that's truly gonna make you happy. Like, you know, like to find your process, to find that thing that's yours, that unique thing that's yours, there's only one thing. So if you didn't get it the first time, maybe the second, the third, the fourth time, maybe it'll start to make sense to you the closer you get towards the bullseye. So I wish you could see my hands here, of course. I'm making a circle, and it's getting smaller and tighter until it's an itty-bitty pinprick. That's what you're looking for. That's your target. That's what you need to start to line your life up to do and to be. So like this morning, getting the chance to wake up, I have new medication. I'm on Seroquel now. We'll talk in another episode about medications. I'm trying to get somebody to come on with that particular episode, so more on that one soon. But this medication is very sedating, and this is my first episode talking since being on that medication, and hopefully it works out well for you guys. But it's working for me. But I needed to have a lifestyle to where if I had to switch medications, you know, if I'm working with machinery and doing a switch, this could be a very bad week for me. This could be a week where, you know, perhaps my job becomes in jeopardy because something new, something massively new is affecting my work. And I didn't want that. So I had to make sure that I lined up my lifestyle to where things like going to therapy is not a problem. Later today, I have a class that's being offered at the VA called Finding Balance. I've been waiting for this class for over a year, and they just sent me a letter in the mail like, hey, you have these about 10 different days that stretches from now until September. These are the only days that this is available. If I had lived a lifestyle to where I couldn't get off one of these days, I'd be upset, right? So I started to live in my passion. And now my life is starting to line up to where whatever things are coming to knock me to the side, left or right, what I do for work, what I do for life, they kind of meet up. And I just wanted to share that experience with you because I feel like somebody needs to hear that even when it's the darkest, even when the moment is the darkest, you can prevail. You can find the silver lining. You may not see the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe you can see it reflected off of something and it'll lead you towards your legacy. Now, before I go, I do want to tell you that there is an album out. Crit is here. I listen to Big Crit. He's been underground for far too long, if you ask me. But I've always liked that brick and mortar approach towards, you know, making your dreams happen. Now, he has a song. And I'm going to leave with saying one of the stanzas. The song name is Every Time. Okay, go listen to it. I think you'll enjoy it. But the woman in the song, she says, I dreamed of all the things that I could be. And there's some things you probably won't believe. I've sailed the land in all the seven seas. There's pain to see. But I win every time. If you live in your legacy, if you live in your passion, you can maintain a triumphant mood at all times, my friends. I believe this. This is why I can say it. I wouldn't lie to you on purpose, I promise. I promise you, okay? Live in your legacy, or at least try to. Once you make an intention, once you make the statements in your mind, once you make up your mind to say, hey, I'm going to live in my passion, you will start to do it. You'll start to find the little pieces here or there that you can start to build upon your life. Now, where I'm at today, it took a long time for me to get here. It took a long time for me to be able to get to the point where I could wake up in the morning and have the kind of morning as I described earlier. I want you to have a peace of mind. Because if you have a peace of mind, then you're more than likely going to share it with the world around you. And then people will start to look at you like you are a bright light. Like a candlestick. And people will want to ignite their flame off of your flame. And as you know, we have a world that is lit up. Guys, my name is Cash Eugene. This has been my time. If you're following me on Facebook, find me on the Bipolar Chatterbox. I'm guaranteeing you that the people who are there, they're bright individuals. They share some really interesting concepts. And it's a really good time. So today's code word is legacy. Or if you have any of the previous code words, those will be adequate enough to let you into the group. Okay? All right, my friends. You guys stay healthy, love each other, and I will see you again next Wednesday at 3. All right, guys. Peace.